to Let's Talk on 98.9 FM. Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley have a yarn and a laugh about what makes the mob wild this week.
Well, what are you? Are you an Aboriginal or not an Aboriginal?
I'll identify this time as black fella.
It's Wild Black Women on Let's Talk. And here they are. Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, here we are.
Morning, sis.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm awake.
You're awake. Look, we're... This is Wild Black.
It's a bit early for one of us.
We are live. The national tour didn't end for some of us.
It's still going.
It was the wildest after party ever. Ange hasn't come home.
Woke up 5 days later.
Hashtag Ange finds a man.
Good go. I can hear that Murray grapevine going across the Indian Pacific right now. Shut up. Stop that.
Them little fellas.
Lovely things.
He was awesome.
God, I can hear it now.
Hi, Colleen.
Shut up,
and plan up.
No, look at.
Okay, sorry, everybody got into business. We all plan up here.
First thing, are you going to give welcome to country this morning?
Well, I can't give welcome, but I will acknowledge the country that I'm sitting on. I want to acknowledge the Yuggera people. Also acknowledge the Turrbal people surrounding areas and all the mob. And acknowledge the land where you're standing on.
Yes.
You're Noongar Whadjuk country?
Yes, and the lovely Perth. It's been nice.
I can't wait to hear all about it, Ange.
I'll tell you.
Wait there. I've got something for you.
What?
I've got to find my button, because I'm in charge of buttons too today.
Yeah, go and play with your buttons.
Well, you're playing with whatever is over there.
No, mug off you. I haven't even had coffee.
That's a bit early for you over there. Watch you.
Yes, it is a little bit earlier than I'm used to for a Friday morning, yeah.
Now, we haven't even talked about what we're doing for the show today. If you haven't figured out, we are winging it. But I think we're getting better at it, Ange.
Are we winging it? Yeah, that's better, isn't it?
I was just scrolling through my Twitter feed of what made me wild this week. So I think that's the show. If you're following me on Twitter, you know what the show's about. we need to talk about the Perth Writers Festival.
I know, we
Perth
do.
Festival.
We've got to say that the show is coming next week, hey?
Maybe next week. Next week or the week after. Depending on some things.
I think some people might have expected it this week, but.
Oh, sorry, we're Mob.
Yeah, sorry. It's
Ange never
it's
come
coming.
Home to bring the USB over, so we can blame her, man.
Oh my God, I'm never going to hear the end of this.
Pretty much. Look, I've got no material for the show, so this is it.
Oh, okay. Just pick on me then. Go on. The Perth Festival.
Okay, how do you feel on reflection? So for those people who aren't regular listeners, I don't know what's wrong with you, but Sister Sonky brought us over to the Perth Festival. And we did a live Wild Black Woman show, plus we did a few other little things on the side, some panels and stuff, and got to hang out there for the weekend.
I've got to tell you, every sister I've caught up with or we've had dinner with or we've connected with over here have been a complete laugh. They've been so welcoming and we've had the best time hanging around the sisters, truly.
Well,
I think my stomach hurts from laughing at this mob.
I tell you, we had the good fortune. I just want to give a shout out to Dr. Deja Clanton, who heard we were coming over and hosted a dinner for us with mum and the family and a few of the local women over there. It was a night.
I think everyone else in the restaurant was jealous that they weren't at our party.
Yes.
It was good.
So thank you to Dr. Deja and Mum Ningala, who was on the show, who you'll get to meet on our show when it goes to air.
Yeah.
But yeah, family of entertainers, I tell you that family.
Aren't they what? Yeah, it was awesome.
A few of the stories we'd actually tell here on the show. Yeah, but it was a good night.
Yeah.
As for the Writers' Festival, can we talk about that?
No, it was an experience, wasn't it? It was good.
Please explain.
Which way?
It was very white. It was yes. Well, that is Writers' Festival-ish.
That's just... Yeah, not specifically, you know, but just across the board, there's a lot of migaloos that turn up to white writers' festivals. Which way? Yeah, and it was interesting just watching them. I like, you know, I like people watching.
Yes,
I am. And just watching the people in the audience react to all the Indigenous content was quite funny for me.
It is. It is. It is. It's an experience. I mean, we were yarning about, because I'm like, oh, how does this work? Because, you know, Wild Black Women is a show we do for black women, and even when we do live shows, it's been for black audiences. So when we're doing the gathering in the Queen Street Mall with, you know, black women doing karaoke, it's very black. And even though there's all different kinds of people in the mall, it's the black audience that comes to the show that we're there for. Mm. And people on the outside are kind of, you know, get to watch us being in conversation with each other, but it's not necessarily made especially to pander or to cater to them specifically. We don't do the usual kind of cross-cultural translation stuff or downplay our blackness to make it palatable or intelligible to a white audience. So that's because people don't realise that we have to do that all the time. and it's tiring.
Yeah, so you know, yeah,
it's tiring, and I can't even find where I'm sick of it.
Oh, she's getting a look in today.
Where did she go, Auntie? I'm going to talk about her later. Yeah. Now I've lost the sound altogether. Mm. I don't know what's going on. Paul, I might need your help with hotkeys. I think one of the things I struggled with our live show was I felt, and it's on me, that I felt we kind of had to we're kind of explaining the show to the audience rather than doing the show.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. We didn't have to explain to the mob that turned up. Thanks everyone who did. Had a cousin that turned up. Had some Noongar sisters that. We're in the audience, watch them.
Yeah, some Twitter people. Shout out to Kathy Bowie. I didn't get to meet your sis, but I'm so glad that you were there because there was just a few black faces we were looking to, and if we got the laughs, we're like, yep, this is our audience. We're doing the show for the people that we're doing it for. Because there were quite a few confused old white people.
There were. Hey.
And I don't know if they were in pain, whether they were laughing, whether they were confused. It was hard to kind of read what was going on.
Oh, we got a sense of that from the questions afterwards, I think, of the faces. But the brother Anton there, our lovely brother supporting us too.
Yep, front row. Lovely brother who turns up. So that was solid.
Yes.
They're an interesting kind of thing, the Writers' Festival. From the green room. I did a panel on the morning before our show, and it was kind of like, you know, where you're the black person on the white people's panel.
Okay.
Where they talk about white people stuff and you sit there being the black speed bump that kind of go, and giving the Aboriginal take on Aboriginal issues because that's the only thing you can kind of speak about. So that was really fun. Yeah. I got to listen to how bad like US politics are and Donald Trump while we just ignore what's going on here with Aboriginal people.
Okay,
that was
right.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Because there's nothing to talk about here, is there?
And then I love media. At the end when you get the surprise looks from your fellow panel members that go, oh, wow, you did really great. Like, oh, you had something to say.
Yeah, when you gave me the opportunity, yeah. I do.
I've just accepted that I'm happy to be typecast as, that black person. Not try and kind of, because I really don't do unstructured white talk very well.
Yeah, right.
Not that I don't know how to, you know, engage in white spaces, but that unstructured white talk, because it's just so removed from the world that I occupy. So it's,
yeah,
I find it hard to find ways to kind of connect.
I get bored. I can do it sometimes. It depends what mood I'm in, but I get bored very quickly. So, if it looks like I'm in disengaging and not in interested at all, I'm not.
I mean, there was a time in my life where I had an investment property, so that made it really easy. But since then, well, I've got nothing.
They would have loved talking about that.
It makes them feel so safe too. What were you
going to
say?
Oh, no, it just reminds me of a story a sister told me when I went out to dinner with her here the other night, and it was hilarious. It's that sort of thing. Oh, anyway.
But you're not going to tell us.
Oh, do you want me to tell it now? Because interrupt the what we're talking about.
No, tell us.
Oh, she said she was working in a government organisation over here, and the non-Indigenous person was standing next to her in the kitchen. And this is at a time that she had a lot going on in her life, but the white woman stood next to her and was telling her a story about, I don't know what this was trying to communicate with her or bond with her, but she's standing there going, telling her how her son was wishing at school, wished came home and said, "Oh, I wish I was black."
Oh.
And my sister's going, "Oh, really? Oh, okay." And then she thought that was really weird and was trying to figure out why they would wish that or want that. So she went to another colleague, a black fella, and said to them, "Are they really poor? Are they trying to make a connection because they're poor or something, and but they wish they were black and they think we get lots of stuff? I don't know." And the brother just went, "Nah, they got 4 houses and 3 cars." The way she told it, I couldn't stop laughing. But he was just real straight. He's just going, "No, they got 4 houses and 3 cars. They're not poor." I have no idea what the connection could have possibly been.
Oh, bless.
Don't.
Talk about confusing. Yeah. Can we, before we leave the Writers' Festival, can we talk about the after party? Not your man.
Well, there was some really the question. Okay, the questions that people ask in the audience were fun. Like they weren't questions; they were statements.
Of course, there's always a testimony.
Like that frustrated me a bit. I must say, just like, can you ask a question, not just grab the microphone as a migloo and just make a big statement? Because
But before I left, we got to go to the after party on Sunday night.
We did.
The artist party. And look, I'm not going to name names because what happens on tour stays on tour.
But at me, go on.
There was no monkey bar, monsoons, juicy rump shenanigans.
We got
Maccas on the way home. We're in bed at a good hour, Auntie Colleen, I promise. Didn't get locked up. We were good.
No.
But something went down.
Oh, man.
Can I call this Winegate?
Yeah, Winegate.
Winegate.
There was some people act weird, eh?
Some people act weird. There was a certain writer who I won't name, but was an Indigenous identifying writer who I hadn't met before. But, you know, you kind of, we had Darkies Corner emerge where the blacks gathered around a table.
Always.
In a corner. And had some yarns, had a little yarning circle. But no, good. I met this one and it was awesome. It was just, she'd asked what we were here for and what we did. And I was, talking about her good ways. And she turned to me and said, "Have you ever thought about publishing, like writing some up your work up?"
Because as an academic, you've never done that, right?
It never occurred to me. It never had occurred
never
to me.
Never occurred to you. I don't know what you do in your day job.
And she said, "Oh, you should yarn to Uncle so and so, who I was standing beside me, who I know well, and we're good friends, good mates, much respect." And so I'm like, "Yeah," but we play longer. Yeah, we've never met and mucked around and had a good laugh, but it was all good fun. And I thought that was it. But later on that evening, I had to go to the bathroom and I had to leave the table and leave my drink at the table. And when I returned, the drink had gone missing. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, Winegate.
Where's it? Now, Ange.
Well, it ended up in someone's flask. I don't know. Who carries a flask around a party and fills it up with other people's leftover drinks? It's a bit...
FYI, this was free drinks. So
there was no need.
If you had no money, if your book's not selling or you haven't written one in a while...
There's no need to bring a flask and never fill it up with leftovers.
There are people walking out with trays of them. You can grab two at a time.
Sorry, that was so funny.
But I come back. But I come back to the table and I'm like, oh. And I've had a few as well. So I'm like, oh, I thought I had a drink. Where's my drink? And you and the other brother were there, straight faced, like sad faced, like, it's okay. No, just get another drink. And being real sus. And I'm sort of waiting for the next lady to bring the tray of drinks out. I didn't go to other people's tables to steal drinks, just FYI.
You didn't have a flask. You weren't that despo.
But it was playing in my mind. And I'm like, I'm sure that I had a drink here. And you still were staring at each other like, who's going to break it to her? Who's going to tell us? Because them two faces look scared.
And you know why, people.
So, Ange,
what happened?
What happened to my drink, Ange? You don't have to name the person, but what happened?
No, like I said, it was carrying a flask and it picked up your drink and poured it into the flask.
But before that, people did say, that's Chelsea's drink.
Oh, yeah, we did say, that's Chelsea's drink.
To which they replied?
I can't say because it's swearing. You're not allowed to swear on the radio. It wasn't a nice response.
So out of nowhere, was a something her.
Yeah. Yes.
So little Sissy knew that so it was weird. My drink and said her and poured it into her flask and off she went.
Must have been a really bad off pay week to be. Collecting drinks that way.
So in honour of Winegate or Wenchgate or Winchgate, whatever, this goes out to you.
Pretend you're bored. Pretend you're
on 98.9 FM. It's Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley.
Hey.
Hey, I'm back.
Can you hear me? I hope you guys can hear me. so I'm just coughing off air, still getting over this cold.
Oh.
I need a rest. I'm tired.
True.
But speaking of stupid girl, can we talk about your Auntie Pauline?
Oh, Ma, she never stops.
I feel like we should put a moratorium on Pauline Hanson's stories. But the material, it's so rich. So rich. Courtesy of Blackfella Twitter, can I just say?
Yeah.
And the brothers. Okay, for our listeners, Anne, do you want to tell them what are we talking about Pauline for this time?
Oh, there's a few things. It goes from offensive to ridiculous, but it's all the same. First of all, she said about the horrific domestic violence incidents happening in Queensland and the statement, what did she say? These things happen
and we do have to look into whether, you know, people are driven to it or something or other. You know,
painful, that stuff. Just somehow you just want to...
And I found it interesting. I think on Twitter it might have been Lisa Wilkinson who kind of, you know, chastised the brekkie shows for having Pauline on. I'm like, but what?
But you used to be on the one that had her on there.
Didn't you used to interview Pauline too? Like, how can anyone
take... I know.
But the Today Show took it to next level.
Of course.
Next level. Ratings must be down.
Hey.
I don't... So,
well, bringing Carl back didn't work, so you've got to team him up with Auntie Pauline.
Yeah, a little bit of racism.
But idiocy and racism all in the one.
I'm still trying to, and I know I said that I shouldn't be asking for context, but I'm still trying to understand how this became a thing. But apparently yesterday the Today Show compared... Pauline Hanson to Nelson Mandela.
Haven't we?
Do you see the connections there?
Yeah. Oh, you're so similar. The struggle.
The struggle is real, people.
The struggle is...
But,
one went to jail for fraud. For stealing dead people's names off graves.
In your opinion?
I think. In my opinion. Oh. And the other, well, it's not, oh, my goodness.
A political prisoner.
A political prisoner.
I guess she too was a political prisoner of the far left.
The far, far left.
So violent. But apparently the quote is, I don't even know if I can actually. It's not that long a quote, but I think it deserves some sound effects. Let me just.
Come on, you're in charge of the buttons this week. Yeah. Oh, the violins are perfect.
You're welcome. Are you ready?
Go. I'll try to keep it together.
They tried. Okay, your snorting's not helping. They tried. Okay, mute your mic for a moment. Are you ready?
No, don't mute my mic. Go.
The violin's going to run out. Okay. They tried to put her in jail like Nelson Mandela. But she came back and came back stronger. I can't even.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I put this on. Oh, no, enough of the violins. Enough, Pauline, enough.
That's the one.
Yeah, I've got to see. This is it.
This filth is in our parliament.
That is the one. Let's play it again.
This filth is in our parliament.
Oh, my God.
So much filth.
Oh, goodness.
But we've got to give a shout-out to, I have to just say, Blackfella Twitter. Turns up. the brothers, So, you know, Matt Enty, you know, who's given us a lot of great moments, really, on Blackfella Twitter.
He
came up with the things cacted, didn't he?
Yeah.
He also brought us the bot thing that corrected lowercase i's.
And which way now?
He did. See, it's a visual. Doesn't work so well on radio. But he said that all the haters should get her book, and it's called Short Stroll to Freedom, and has a picture of Pauline sliding down the air's roller room. I can't read the description of the book because we're on radio, but it was a moment.
First time I've seen that. It's brilliant.
Not to be outdone, however, you see Bundjalung Bud come out with his little contribution to the conversation.
Not really, no.
You did not see it? I'm just trying to find it now. Where is it? You're probably listening to me if I can't find it. Okay, just talk amongst yourselves until I find
on
it.
On Twitter?
Yeah, it was on Twitter. And he did a different quote for Auntie Pauline, and a different analogy, which was really funny, and just believe me until I find it and I can read it to you. Where are we? Do you see it, Edge?
But no, sorry.
It was something to the effect of some people could compare me to the ozone layer because I can't shut my hole. Something like that. Something like that. Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
You can laugh at Pauline, but today's show. ABC Indigenous putting a quote of Andrew Bolt around a documentary about racism.
Oh, God, I know. What the hell was that?
What's wrong with you fellas?
I don't know. Why are we catering to racism? I don't understand the desperation for audience that catering to racism and putting derogatory stereotypes constantly about us out there. It obviously
Under this false idea of balance. And this is the thing that really annoys me, particularly around conversations about race and racism, is that this is more than a matter of how people feel about it or how they feel about the other. And at some point we have got to insist that the conversation shift beyond feelings, and most notably white people's feelings about race, to the realities of how race operates violently as a structure of oppression. And we need to engage intellectually with this. And I'm not talking in a snobby kind of only academics can speak about racism, but we need to look at how this is operating and move the conversation beyond people's feelings to the reality of what's happening to people of colour, to Indigenous people, because white power is violent and it is ever-present in this place.
I know, it's just,
that's why we have a show called Wild Black Women.
Hence the silly lady in the audience at one of the panels asking about the N-word and how hypocritical it was that she wasn't allowed to say it either. And I'm just looking at her really confused going, you're kidding, right? You want a panel of Indigenous people to sit up here and agree with you? It wasn't a question, by the way. It was just a big, hideous statement to give you permission to do that. We're not going to do that. And then she threw the mic down on the ground and walked away because she just wanted to. It was like,
and she did actually
stunned.
Say the N-word in a
and
public
she said
forum.
It in a, yeah, more
to
than
To a
once.
Panel of black people.
Yeah. Like
at a writers' festival on a Saturday morning.
I was really restrained.
Context, people, context.
I thought it was quite, Lucky Murray didn't, Anyway, but yeah, there you go.
Yeah, should have stayed home.
She should have.
But we're going to go a song. It's one of your songs, Ange. Sweet Black Man. How did you pick that one?
Oh, my God.
You picked it. I can't wait to hear all about it.
Oh, my God, I'm in pain.
But when my eyes meet his, I can read his thoughts. Easter gave him the right smile, 'cause now he's coming over. He's kinda shy, but he starts to talk. My heart is saying,
Live this Friday. I'm in the studio back home. And Ange.
Yes, I'm still in Perth.
She's still in Perth. Hashtag sweet black man. Any context for that song, sis?
No, even though you keep fishing, not even. Oh, my God. If I disappear and don't come back at all, then you got something to worry about.
I just can't find my.
Or maybe not even.
I just can't find my other one. This is my,
thank
one of
goodness.
My favorite buttons. Where is it gone?
Stick to the news.
Stick to the news. Oh, here.
Live your life, girl.
You're gonna stop.
Live your life, girl. Okay, let's talk about news. Oh, can I talk about? There's a story that hit this morning, or I hit this morning. James Ward sent me this story. Professor Ward, thank you. And so the headline is, breakfast presenter Hayley Holt breaks down in tears after powerful report on police mistreatment of Maori. And so, oh, okay, she must have interviewed and done this interview because it's got like a split screen of Sister Julia Faputi, who's the researcher and expert reporting on the findings of this report. Very factually, intellectually, insightfully, powerfully, you know, it's a great interview, really great, and it's a really clearly explained articulation of the brutality of racism within the legal system over there, within its historical context, but also in ever present now. Even when you account for all of the factors that may, you know, increase the likelihood of mob over there having increased contact with the legal system, so even when you account for all those other factors, they have found evidence that mob there get treated, you know, far worse at all different stages of the legal system, which we know.
We know. Yeah,
we kind of have to keep giving these new reports and new evidence to convince them. And
always, yeah.
So what's interesting is Julia's actually not doing the interview with Hayley Holt. Hayley Holt's off camera. She's not even in the interview. And
so she's just watching. Oh, God.
Yeah. So I'll make that interview. So I'm sorry, I don't know the whole New Zealand TV scene, but Uncle that's doing the interview. And I was really interested because sometimes you watch a conversation over there and you go, wow, how come we can't have conversations like that on morning television? Because he seemed, he didn't discount the findings, but what we got through most of the interview was his reaction of shock that this is true. And it's real. So he keeps reminding us that, okay, so what you're telling us is that two kids, Pākehā and Māori, with no criminal history, the Māori child is more likely to have this happen. And she's like, yes. But he keeps going back, going, so this is evidence that it's true. And she's like, well, you know, before I was born, our people have been saying this, So but the whole interview is his shock at, oh my goodness, racism is real. And now there's proof. he still wasn't discounting the proof, but it was like, but the best we can hope for is that they can just go, oh my goodness.
The realization that, oh yeah, there's evidence now, it's written on a piece of paper. Yeah, you must be telling the truth.
And the thing is, but finally towards the end of the interview, we get to so what should we do about it? As opposed to, oh my God, I'm still clutching my pearls.
Okay.
We get to that last bit Julia, she says, racism in policing looks like killing Maori. And she talks about how the Americanization of the police force in their communities under the guise of keeping people safe. And she says, but do you know who does not feel safe by police? It is Maori. Mm. Now, and we can relate to that story. And so some of the things that they're asking for is about police not carrying the weapons that they do in their communities, much like over here. In Yundamoon, mob are asking for just put the guns down.
Yes. Hey.
Like how? That's an unreasonable. Put the guns down, please.
Yeah.
Hands up, don't shoot. But this is just at the very end. We get to, it's like let our mob be responsible for policing, resource us to police our communities.
Yeah.
Let's not use weapons. And she was saying about the way in which contact with the legal system then creates more violence because people are likely to reoffend and more violent offences because of the brutalisation of those institutions that takes place there, which we all know about. We all know that those places are violent. We watch movies about it and people laugh about it, but it's true. These institutions are violent and they create more violent offenders. It's just a really a violent response to something that doesn't require that and doesn't necessitate that, and it disproportionately affects particular segments of our population. But we don't get to discuss in-depth solutions because it's taken so long to get to an interview. The interview finishes. Julia's gone off. She finished her interview. And what we turn to then is Uncle goes to speak to his co-host, the white woman beside him, Hayley Holt, who starts to cry.
Oh, God. Why is she crying?
I don't know. And, you know, it's, and I'm not saying it's, don't empathize with the funny, but this wasn't an emotive story in the sense of this was talking about hard data, clear strategies. Yeah. And what became the headline was the white woman's tears, not the violence of the state upon Maori.
Not all the research that she did that she was being interviewed about, not any of the evidence.
And not the recommendations for change.
Oh, my God.
And so you have the white woman.
The white woman was upset by the story.
The headline is about her breaking down in tears after this powerful report, but the split screen is the Maori woman and the white woman.
And the face, so the face on the Maori woman is if she was being, if you didn't, yeah. Oh, God.
So what we have is the reproduction. It's kind of like, it has the, what was that, the Serena Williams cartoon.
If you didn't know all that background and you just looked at the picture, it actually set up to look like an angry black woman making a white girl cry.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful.
Not an intelligent woman. Coming up with evidence-based solutions to minimise the violence upon Maori children, like you know.
Oh God!
I just can't even. Makes you wild. Makes you wild.
So tired. I just yeah. Yeah.
But never fear, Studio 10, you know, forget New Zealand breakfast television. Here in Australia, we've got Studio 10. They have made a stand.
Have they?
Yep, it's Mardi Gras.
They've turned the corner.
They're flying the flag. And just like the police and their cupcakes, Studio 10, they're not going to stand for intolerance and abuse.
No?
No.
Why?
Oh, didn't you see their promo?
Oh, the Mardi Gras promo.
Yes,
they're supporting the Mardi Gras. How lovely.
Yes.
Still.
But what happened was, so with the promo, they were trolled on the promo from their viewers. Oh, surprise! Accused them of shoving an agenda down their throat.
Oh. Having an ad about the Mardi Gras is shoving agendas down their throat.
Yeah, and so in defence of one of their panel members, they decided to take a stand and actually address this and say that they're not going to tolerate this. Racism, on the other hand.
Yeah, let's up the ante
pay people to...
We'll pay people to come on and, oh, my God.
Anywhere else but here, crap. Ange. Got out a song.
Hey.
Got out a song.
Measured a beating at a fireside in this beautiful land of Oz. Heaven be a better place than home, well, supposing that it was. If heaven is in some future, well, that tomorrow's so unclear, then home for me, I guess, could better be nowhere else but here. Nowhere else but here, yeah, nowhere else but here, oh no. Home for me, I guess, might never be nowhere else but here. By the many, many times things don't turn out as planned, or haunted by the feeling of that unfamiliar hand. Just listen to little honeysuckle singing sweet and clear. The sweetest honey is in the tree that's nowhere else but here. Nowhere else but here, she sings, nowhere else but here. Here's where my honey is in this tree that's nowhere else but here. Is there much that might not happen right wherever I may be? If all I got to do is soften some of my precious certainties, was all that toil and turmoil just to help me understand that heaven may be just a fancy name for some never, never, ever land, where nothing ever really happens and probably just as well. I've seen things really happening where it's all downhill to hell, through a devil's pass on a bolting horse with Buckley's hope to steer. this campfire gleaming in this dear old land of ours. Flipping idly through the pages of the tales of the never was. Losing interest in a future, what with tomorrow so unclear. I guess maybe I never really need to be nowhere else but here. Guess maybe I may never ever need to be nowhere else but here. Nowhere else but here, oh no, nowhere else but here for sure. Guess maybe I may never ever need to be nowhere else but here. If there's one place where I'm free to be, it's nowhere else.
To Let's Talk on 98.9 FM. It's Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley.
Hey, it is. We're back, sis.
We're back live in two studios from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Hey.
Hey. And we're almost at the hour.
It went quick. I think we're going to just go with winging it now.
It's a thing. but we might finish up on some sports news.
Oh, I missed the game.
You missed the game. Yeah, we missed the game.
Right, I know we there. Did. It looked like everyone was having fun. It looked good. I wanted to go.
Gold Coast was blackest.
Hey.
Because I was in Perth, I was getting all the messages about who got free tickets, who got spare tickets. Someone got to, like the ticket exchange that happens on a Saturday before the All-Stars. People broken up, so they're heading out. People back together, so they need another ticket. Like, oh, the drama. Missed the game. Good to see the black woman turned up here, though.
Hey.
Got the win.
Yes.
Shout out to the woman's side, as usual, carrying the load.
Isn't that the truth?
Where is it? Oh, my hotkeys are just...
Yeah, how much did the sisters win by?
I think there were just too many curries on the team. Just going to put it out there.
Okay.
That's why we lost. Sorry, I'd miss the scores. I don't even, can't remember that stuff. I'm flat out remember my kids' names some days. Did you get the scores?
No, I didn't. No.
But yeah, the men's team lost, but you wouldn't know it from the photos. They're running around the field like they won the thing.
True. Latrell
Mitchell and that grin. Love him. Josh Adokar, like, yeah, they're all, but it's solid. It's good to see.
They had a good time. Didn't matter.
That game is not about what's on the scoreboard. It is about turning up and representing and being proud of who you are and where you come from and having respect for each other's culture. Unfortunately, the NRL commentators still have failed to grasp that concept. And did you hear that Sir Paul Vorton, apparently after the sort of war dances and that ceremonial process, they throws to Andrew Johns, which I don't know.
Why is he there?
I'm sure there's some ex-black footballers who could do the commentary. Not Sam Thaide, but someone else.
Yeah.
Bring on JT. Come on now.
Why? I don't understand.
But apparently...
Why is the fella still anywhere on TV or any commentary at all?
Apparently Fatty says to him, who do you think won the dance competition?
You cannot be serious!
And, you know, people wonder why. When, you know, they always carry on about in the union about the haka and we should have something here like this in Australia. Because of white people. That's why we don't.
That's a perfect example.
Lack of respect for Aboriginal culture here in this place from the settlers.
Yeah.
That's why. Because you've ridiculed it for over 200 plus years. The mob turned up. Some of them need to practice them shake legs in them footy boots, but they turned up, so I won't.
The only thing we did watch was the practicing of the shake leg, which needed some work. But Ganung, Ganung, they tried their good.
Yeah, not everyone did shake a leg, but yeah, never mind. That was, yeah, it was good. It was good.
Everyone could shake a leg, it's true. But, you know, shut up, fatty.
Hey.
Just shut up.
Oh, where is it? Where, oh, I think we've changed our buttons. I don't even know what's the thing for him.
Shut up, just shut up, shut up.
Yeah, you sing it. She's singing the hotkeys. That's awesome.
There's nothing I would rather be than to be an aboriginal.
Hey, yeah, don't worry. We don't need to hear that commentary anymore. Now it's our game.
Hey, our land, our game. Go away.
That's it.
Can we just? I'm just going to give a special shout. There was something, some tragic news this week in sport.
Wow.
Sharapova, the unstoppable, retires from the game of tennis. Are you sad, sis?
I'm so sad.
Wait a minute, stop this thing. Sad. Oh, sissy. Sharapova.
No more grunting.
No more grunting. Turns out she hasn't won a game in a while, so I think she had to, like, call it a day.
Had nothing to do with that.
And look, while we're being. Yeah, sorry.
That little drug thing that could have happened to her.
Nothing at all.
Nothing look, at all to do with that. Okay.
And before
just
you
checking.
Come at us and being nasty, Sharapova, let us remind you, wrote the book Unstoppable, where she had to write about Serena Williams.
Mm.
And she used her memoir to kind of position herself in this sort of rivalry between her and Serena Williams.
Serena. Yeah.
But I don't know. The book, when it came out, was what, around 2017? The last time she'd beaten Williams was 2004. That's not a rivalry, sissy. You're not in the same court.
Yeah, unstoppable. Okay.
Unstoppable. But in the book,
change the title of that book.
She explained why Williams had, you know, why she hadn't been able to beat Williams, because, and she kind of framed her as this kind of in terms of her physical characteristics, and as though Williams was this the jealous black girl who couldn't handle losing. So she said, "I think Serena hated me for being the skinny kid who beat her against all odds at Wimbledon." Of course, the white woman playing tennis is the one that's against all odds against the black woman. But yeah, yes. you go with that.
Yeah.
But she spoke about how in the locker room how Serena was crying after a loss. Surely she's allowed to do that, and surely she's allowed that privacy to do that. But you write a book about her.
Mm, yeah.
I laugh in the article where they're talking about this book that Sharapova wrote, Unstoppable. in the article they write, but with respect to Williams' legacy, Sharapova is more of a footnote. And on that note, we've got to go. We're at the hour.
We've got to go.
We'll get your mob soon. But
see you next week. I'll be back.
See you next week. I could write a book, Ange.
Okay, go on.
How could you?
If they ask me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot, it's just to tell you that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make two lovers of friends. Thank you. whisper and look. Tell them that I love you a lot.